My special guest on this edition of the Urban Country Radio podcast series is an Australian entertainment icon. His talent has seen him achieve success in film, television, theatre and music. So it's an absolute pleasure to sit down, have a chat and help you get to know Mr. Cameron Daddo. Cameron, thank you so much for your time. Great to catch up, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. How are you? Good? You doing all right?
We're doing really, really well. I want to we'll talk about the music side of things very soon. I want to ask you this question. Out of film, television, and theatre, what gives you the most joy?
Film, television, and theatre.
The joy
is not so much in the medium. The joy is in the story.
Yes.
And the telling of the story. So they eat, because I can't differentiate or couldn't give you out one or over the other, because it's all about the story.
And yeah, yeah.
Each have their pluses of ways of telling the story and what they can show, you know.
Oh, it's interesting. I was talking to someone a little while ago who's done a bit of theatre work and done a bit of, not film, but done TV as well. And they said, and yeah, I guess you probably believe it too, it's such a nice thing getting a direct reaction from a live audience to something you're doing.
Oh, well, that's definitely one of the pluses of theatre. You know when you're connecting with the audience straight up, whereas with film or TV, you have no clue. It's just that's a director's, producer's medium, whereas theatre is truly the actor's medium.
Very much so. When you've done a film, have you, either on release or after it's been released, have you sat in the audience in disguise and just see what the audience have been saying about it?
Yeah, I have. I mean, the truth of it is, I haven't made many that have ended up in the film in a cinema house.
Yeah.
A lot of my stuff is, you know, HBO or gone, you know, straight to DVD. Mm. Listen to me, you know, Mr. 90s guy.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, and every now and again, you know, one will hit the cinema, and I find that it's a very novel experience, and it's exciting to hear people responding to a story. Yeah,
yeah, very much so. I want to go right back to the beginning. Where did a young Andrew Daddo, Cameron Daddo, grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Yeah, where's hometown?
Well, hometown was Melbourne.
Yeah,
and we grew up in a place in the Mornington Peninsula.
Oh, beautiful part of the world.
It's just fantastic. And so, grew up down there, and then spent time in the United States and in New Jersey, and then moved back to the city of Melbourne, and sort of spent my later teen years in Melbourne, and then moved to Sydney when I was about 19.
So what took you to New Jersey in the early days?
That was my dad's company.
Yeah. Dad's work, and yeah.
So, yeah, the entire family moved across with him.
Would have been a great... How old were you? Would have been then? Would have been a fantastic experience for a young kid.
Yeah, I was 15.
And, okay.
It was great, you know, the five of us, the five kids and mum and dad, and the dog came with us. And, yeah.
So is that one of your best childhood memories then?
New Jersey?
Yeah.
Not so much. New Jersey was a great experience because the climate in New Jersey is interesting. It's very, very hot and humid in summer, and then in the wintertime it's bleak. And definitely four seasons in New Jersey because the leaves turn in the fall, and that's, you've never seen anything like that. I mean, obviously, you know, if you've been to New Zealand or somewhere, but the leaves turning colour on the east coast of America is something to behold.
Yeah, it's one. I saw a video some time ago about something like that in some of the national parks in the US, and it was shot at that particular time of year, and it looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Absolutely amazing. What was...
I was just about to say, as far as personally, you know, that was in my teens, and it wasn't a great time. My favourite time growing up was in Mount Eliza in Melbourne.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I've been there once, and that's a magic part of the world too.
Yeah, the Mornington Peninsula is great.
Yeah.
And it was just, we were on bikes, we were... You know, you just rode bikes everywhere. We played footy 2 days a week, and Saturday, Sunday was footies, club footy, school footy. It was on the bay, sailing and surfing, and I had great mates and fun girlfriends, and, you know, it was just a great time.
So is footy one of your favourite sports? Well, I've been coming from Melbourne, AFL football, I guess, is one of your favourite sports.
AFL sport, yeah, AFL is the bee's knees for me, mate. It is the duck's nuts. I can now, after 25 years being starved of it in Los Angeles, I can actually watch any game of football now.
Is that right?
Yeah, I never used to watch. I could only ever watch it. I love watching footy.
Could you get into American football?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got into college football. Because I was a student, I was studying directing and writing at UCLA.
Okay.
And so I used to follow the Bruins and go to those games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the pro footy was fun too. Yeah, it's a good game.
Do you have good memories from school, when you went to school? The good memories mostly? We've all had bad memories and good memories from school, I guess.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I mentioned my friends at school. We're still mates, you know.
Isn't that lovely?
We still do things together. And the moment we're organising a kayaking trip down Tasmania. Which will be epic. And but we love to hang out together. Those guys and I, we when COVID started, we were Zooming once a week and having beers Friday afternoon, which was great. And then we have a WhatsApp, goofy WhatsApp messaging going back and forth that the banter is ridiculous. it's fun. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Speaking of Tassie, a lot of us love going on holidays, and Tassie is one of my family's favourite places. What was your family? Where did your family love going on holidays to?
So our secret family spot is a place called Yamba on the
northern New South Wales.
Yeah, the northern rivers of New South Wales.
That's a fantastic spot.
That's where I go. If someone, you know, I said to Alison, if you ever wonder where I am, if I disappear, that's where you look.
Can I tell you, Yamba, you'd think I don't normally feel the cold, Cam, and I think you've talked about Tasmania and stuff, you'd be freezing. Can I tell you, I had the coldest night in a tent ever in Yamba once.
What, were you sitting beside the Clarence River?
we were camped actually near the Clarence River. It was just one of those weird things. I come from Toowoomba up on the Darling Downs, and that gets cold. For some reason, that particular night in Yamba, and I've been very lucky to travel to a lot of places, and Yamba that night was absolutely freezing. I'm lying on an airbed in the tent with 15 layers of clothes on, thinking this is supposed to be, I think it was spring too, by the way. It wasn't even winter. So when you say Yamba, lovely spot, I still remember it being the coldest night I ever spent anywhere in a tent. And I have no idea why it was so cold. I have no idea.
I reckon the first clue is the airbed. I think airbeds are worst things to sleep on.
They are shocking. They are cold in the middle of December.
Absolutely. They're terrible, Daryl. I wouldn't get them.
We talked about sport before, Cam. Who was your favourite Australian sports person of all time, do you think?
Very good question, Daryl. There's a few of them. Yeah, there's a few guys coming to mind. Greg Norman is one of them.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with Greg Norman. I think I don't know him. I've met him a couple of times.
Yeah.
But in order to be a professional golfer, you have to live a very myopic life.
Yeah, and true. It has to be
a lot about you.
Mm.
It's that part of Greg Norman that I don't like, yet the fact that being a golfer now and knowing what it must have taken to stay at the level that he was able to stay at shows great tenacity and determination.
Absolutely. I read something ages ago. I think it's one in... Something like this is just Australia. 1 in 25,000 golfers actually get to the point where they can make a living out of that career.
Yeah, it's a bit like acting.
Yeah, well, that's probably true, actually. Are you a good golfer, by the way?
Oh, look, I'm okay. If you were to say, you know, based on your stats, most golfers shoot over 100.
Majority.
I've heard that like only 5% of people who play golf can shoot under 100.
I did that in the first nine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I I can shoot under 100, and I do. I rarely shoot over 100. Now, having said that, I'll go out tomorrow and I'll shoot 103.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. It's one of those. It's one of those games that brings you back to earth really quickly, no matter how good you are.
Indeed. Doesn't and that's it? Why we keep playing it, because we're just.
Hey, what was your first car, Cameron Daddo?
My first car was a 1968 Kingswood sedan. Oh,
68 Kingswood.
Yeah, it was a four-door HK Holden.
Yeah.
It was called Pitaroo Beige. It had the Pitaroo Beige colouring, two-tone white roof with green vinyl seat.
That Benchy. Is...
Three on the tree. I remember this car clearly. You know, it had the little 186 and the three on the tree. And
the three on the tree. That's going back. Three on the tree. A lot of people learned to drive in a car with three on the tree.
People my age would have.
But absolutely.
That car, we went to parties. My brothers and I would go watch Sunday movies. We'd be in the bench seat, the front, all smoking cigarettes.
The bench
thinking
seat.
We were very cool, you know. Yeah.
That would have been a cool car back in those days, actually. It would have been very good.
Well, it was like 35 years old at the time. Mm. And it was immaculate, this car, when I bought it. My father and I went and bought it together, and I paid like $1,300 for it. So it was pretty priced at the time. But it was immaculate, and it even had Dymo labels on the doors. Yeah, you remember Dymo labels.
I do. Dymo, it used to have a dial thing, and you used to push a little... Yeah, did you have that on the doors?
It had them on the doors. And
what,
on the
front right, front left?
Well, it was more do not slam the doors. So you know that the person who owned that thing, it was just pristine.
That is brilliant.
It went through all Daddo boys. Finally, my Andrew Daddo's twin, Jamie, he drove it into a gutter, and it just only ever turned left.
I'm just picturing Dymo. I've never heard of anyone have Dymo label on a car. You're the first one I've ever talked to who's done that. That's brilliant. I love that.
Well, you can't make that stuff up.
You cannot make that stuff up at all. Hey, listen, what profession other than what you do now would you like to have tried?
Well, when I was young, I was going to be a dentist.
Were you really?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do at school, because I had the coolest dentist in the world. he drove a 1967 Volvo sports wagon that just looked like a Studebaker.
Yeah, that was a fancy car.
Yeah, and his was gold. So
it's even more fancy.
He had the tan, and he would rock up at the golf club, and he was fit, and he was, it was just a lovely bloke. And I thought, I want to be like him.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually did an apprenticeship with him as a dental technician. I was making crowns and, things like that. When I was at school, making wax crowns, and they wanted to see how I worked with wax to build teeth and stuff like that. But that's an aside. That's probably not the career choice. I'm going to stick with the masochistic side and go professional golfer.
Golfer, yeah, absolutely, exactly. And there's probably more dentists out there, the professional dentists, than are professional golfers when you think about it, though. So the odds are a little bit harder.
Yeah, I was going to say there's certainly more wealthy dentists.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What is Cameron Daddo's most useless talent? What's your most useless talent, Cam?
I think this is quite a useful talent.
Okay.
I collect leather from discarded furniture.
Do you really?
I do. And I repurpose it. I cannot stand the thought that some animal has given up its life. Mm. And this is my sort of my anti-vegan stance, or, you know, whatever it is. But,
it's all right.
But I cannot stand that an animal's given up its life and covered a beautiful couch or a chair, and it only to be thrown out on the side of the road.
So, absolutely.
So I call it harvesting leather, and I see couches, and I've got a Stanley knife in my car, and I get out and I check it out. If it's a vinyl couch, I'll leave it alone. But if it's a leather couch or a leather chair, I collect the leather, and then I make things out of the leather.
Fantastic. That is, do you make whips and things?
Actually, I probably could try.
Give it a go.
But I've certainly made footstools.
Mm-hmm.
I've recovered stools out of the leather. I've what else have I done? Oh, you know what? You know what's beautiful is you can wrap a bottle of wine in a swathe of leather and wrap it up. You know, you tie it up in another little piece of thonging that you make from the leather.
Yes,
and it's and you put your little gift card on it, and people go, holy crap, what a beautiful looking.
That is a great, can I write that down? That is a great, that is a great idea. I'm like, courtesy of Cameron Daddo. I'll put that on there, I promise.
It's a very manly, sort of gift to give. And
it is.
You know, and also I make desk, like, you know, on top of a table. If you've got a table, like a stone, especially a stone table, I don't like putting my wrists on the stone because it's cold.
Yeah.
But if I've got a slice of leather that I can put on there, and then I do my work on top of the leather, then it just feels better.
That is, and it's a beautiful material to work with as well. We had an old friend of ours who's passed away a few years ago, used to make saddles, and you'd walk into the workshop, and you know how you walk into some places and you get a smell, and it takes you to some other place when you were a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
I can walk into a leather shop or a leather goods shop and get exactly that same memory of an old day. And it's the same thing that happened to you, I'm sure, Cam.
Well, it is, and it's interesting, mate, because I did – this is a bit of a trip for me. I mean, I always loved the smell of a Sharon football.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and also leather wallets. And I was going to say I make journal covers and all things like that. Just repurpose the leather.
Yeah.
But I did Who Do You Think You Are for SBS.
That's right.
This season,
yes,
and I found out that the Daddo, my 3-4 times great grandfathers, were Schumann, and they were high end bootmakers, who came from the island of Guernsey. And when they told me that, I was like, well, now that makes sense to me that I would be so attracted to repurposing leather.
I remember looking at that episode because another good friend of mine, Troy Cassidaly, was on that same series. And that must have been an amazing experience going through that journey and ticking all the boxes and filling in some gaps in your family history.
That's exactly what it did, Darryl. It just filled in gaps.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made things that the quirks in me that I have. Yeah. It made sense where they've come from.
Yeah, absolutely. That must have been a thrill, an absolute thrill to do, Cameron.
What a privilege to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm so fortunate. I'm just pinching myself every day going, I get to do this and learn about this and go and have a visceral experience of it. I'm not just picking it up off a computer page or a readout.
Exactly.
I'm actually living it right now.
Well, just on that then, with that mindset, if one of a fan of yours came up and said, hello, can I meet you? What's the one message you'd give to one of your fans then?
What do I give to my fans?
Yeah, what would be a message you give to your fans, knowing that you...
It's the same message I give to myself, and that's follow your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, just follow your gut and don't worry so much about what other people are telling you what to do or, you know, because we all want to have sometimes control other people. The answers that you seek on the outside are in your heart. You know that they're yours. Sit quietly and you'll find your way.
That's wonderful advice. It really is. Wonderful advice. I want to just quickly talk about the music side of things in a second. So I want to ask you this question. If you had a superpower, what's the first thing you think you'd like to do? If you were super camera, if you were super Daddo, what would be the one thing you'd like to do, do you reckon?
Gosh, you know, it's read minds.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. That would be very, could be scary in a lot of ways.
Yeah, look, I would, if I had a superpower, if I say, write songs like Lennon and McCartney, you know, that sort of thing, I could be, I mean, that crosses my mind. But the first thing that comes to my mind and kept re-entering my mind as I was thinking, what would it be? is to be a mind reader, which I suppose that's what Magneto is, isn't it?
That's true. That's exactly right. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly right. You've got a fantastic EP out at the moment called Sun and Moon. And one question I'd want to ask you, what first got you into music and who inspired you to get into music in the first place? Everyone knows you as a wonderful actor, but the music side of it, who sort of forced you, or sort of suggested you go into that direction?
No one suggested it. It was I've been asked this question before, and I don't know I don't have a stock answer for it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, my mum and dad gave me the tin tobacco guitar, and it was a fake or a toy electric Stratocaster that had a tobacco sunburst on it, and it was right-handed, and I picked it up, and of course I'm lefty, and I couldn't make it work, but it had strings on it. But I just loved the look of it, and I just kept being drawn to this guitar. Yeah. And then it wasn't, and then that's all that was. And then when I was 5 or 6 years old, my mum and dad, we moved us from Sydney to Melbourne to the Mornington Peninsula. And upstairs was a pianola piano.
Oh, pianola, yeah.
Yeah, and my dad sat at this piano. He was showing us, we were doing a tour of the house, you know, he's got five little kids.
Seven, five,
three and a half and one or whatever Lockie is at the time. And he played Fleur-de-lis.
Oh, wow. Piano. This is with the roll. This is the piano with the rolls that go into the pianola.
Correct. But this was not a pianola. This was him playing it.
Okay. Yeah.
He played it, and then he put on a piano roll, and he pulled out the, because it had a little trap door at the bottom of it where you pull out the bellows and you pump the bellows with the pedals.
Yeah.
And he pulled that out, and then he said, "Now you guys can do this." Well, I'd never seen anyone or heard anyone play the piano before, like my dad did. That was the only time he ever played that piano that I ever heard him play. I don't think he played it when we were out of the house. He certainly didn't when we were in the house.
Yeah.
But that was it for me. I was like, I want to know how to do this. So
that is brilliant.
So I would play the pianola, and then I would stop. I would see the sounds coming out, and of course it plays by itself.
Yeah.
Then I would stop playing the pianola roll, and then I'd punch out with my own fingers what was going on. And I taught myself to play like Daisy Daisy, Give Me Your Answer, Do, and things like all these old songs that were on the pianola rolls that we had.
Oh wow! What a wonderful memory.
Yeah, so that was sort of where it started.
Where it started,
and then, you know. Yeah. My brother Lockie was given a guitar when he was like seven, and he had no interest in it. And he was a lefty, and I saw what he was doing, that he was playing it the wrong way because it was a right-handed guitar. And I said, "I think you're a left-hander," and I said, "Do you mind if I change the strings?" And man, I was 13; I had no clue what I was doing. But I did it anyway, and then he said, "I'm not interested." So I figured out how to tune the guitar, and then I started to I've got guitar, like, chord books and things, and this is before YouTube, of course.
Oh, yeah. So you never did official lessons, you were self-taught?
Yeah, lessons didn't come till way later, till we were living in New Jersey, and then that was just something my mum wanted me to do to get me out of the house, so she said, "You better go have
You've got a great, your own rendition of a fantastic song from Johnny Nash. Everyone will know it, Cameron. It's called I Can See Clearly Now on the EP. Out of all the songs, you know, what would be your favourite song to perform? If you had any song to choose from, what would you love to do?
That I already play?
No, not necessarily. No, just a song that you know. What would you actually love to get up there and perform? Any song?
I think it's going to be... Wow, it's a good question.
Could be happy birthday to you. Doesn't matter.
it's gonna be Kiss. It's gonna be I Want to Rock and Roll All Night.
That is not what I expected. Actually, I was expecting something, you know, imagine John Lennon or a Beatles classic or something. I would not have picked Kiss at all.
Yeah,
good song.
It's I Want to Rock. Yeah. That you show me everything you got.
Well, actually, you know what? I think you've just answered my next question, because I was going to ask you, if you could open a show for any artist, who would it be and why? I think I know the answer to that question now, Cameron.
No, it's not Kiss.
Who would you love to open for? If you ever had a chance.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to open. Now, it's not going to be in 2021 or 2020 or 2021 when we're back on stage again.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's going to be in, it's going to be set in 1978.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, actually it's not 1978, it's going to be somewhere in 1975, and it's at the Greek Theatre in Los Angeles, and it's going to be opening up for Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, live at the Greek.
Yeah.
Great. As, can I tell you, I've got that album and Hot August Night on LP, digitally remastered LP, and CD, both albums.
Well, I don't blame you. I'm not. Yeah, there's no question as to why you would have that. It's just Hot August Night opening. I mean, obviously that album was not recorded on one night.
That's right.
It was several nights. But to be opening that tour in that theater, having been to that theater many times now, and what an extraordinary place it is. It's just like he says. It's performer's paradise.
Absolutely.
It's an audience's paradise to witness an act there. I saw Tom Petty play there, Lyle Lovett.
Yeah.
And Crows. I've seen all sorts of different bands there.
Yeah.
But to open up for Neil Diamond on that tour, that set that I know is coming, holy crap.
And where else can you have a venue where you can call your fans tree people?
Yeah, right.
So, can I put an order in? When you release Cameron Daddo live at the Greek Theatre, can I put the order in for the first copy?
Yeah, mate. Thank you. You know, that was one of the things that, you know, you have dreams of doing things. And my bucket list in when we were living in LA was to actually play at the Greek Theatre. I was so excited. It never happened, unfortunately. I got to play a couple of different places and things, but the Greek is something special.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember talking to Troy Cassidaly once, and he went and played the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville.
Mm.
And on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, there's about a 1 meter square piece of the original timber floor, and it's right in front of the main mic stand. And he said, you stand there and you think of all the amazing names of classic artists that have stood on that exact piece of floor. He said it's one of those pinch-me moments.
Yeah, I imagine that would be.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say that Troy has played the Greek Theatre, which I wouldn't
be surprised. No, it's one he hasn't done yet. I'll mention it to him, though.
He's probably closer to it than I am. But, yeah. I mean, so he's just so great. Yeah. And, you didn't have to agree with that, but, you know. You're supposed to go, no, Cameron, you are so close to being there.
No, I think I'm channeling. I'm trying to get out of this. I'm digging myself a big hole.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to finish up very shortly with 5 in 5. Just want to ask you one more question. What's next for Cameron Daddo?
Well, hopefully pubs and clubs and things will open up, and I'm going to take this album out. I'm really keen to fire up my music again. We've only lived in Australia for 3 years this time, and one thing that I was doing in Los Angeles over the last 25 years was playing live. We do a lot of gigs, and I want to get that keeps me going. That's my vocation is performing, and so at this point, I really don't know what's coming up. Only because. Theaters are closed. I'm talking to people about doing stuff for 2021, but no one's got any date.
No, so, not at all. It's still up in the air. A lot of this is still up in the air. We can't say this is going to finish in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months' time.
Correct. So, and that's got a lot of people anxious. So I think when you say what's next for Cameron Daddo, this will probably surprise you, but I have a men's health initiative going.
Okay.
It's called My Men's Team, and I've had it up for about 18 months. And so I feel it's really important now that I'm diving into rebuilding the website and really making this into the men's team league and growing that and spreading the importance of communicating between men and setting up small teams, having guys set up small teams, eight guys, get together once a month and let's share our stuff, because a problem shared is a problem halved. And Aussie guys, Aussie guys, we're too good at covering it up, and, yeah, and that's getting us nowhere.
What a fantastic initiative. Congratulations, mate. Have you got a website address you can give us? Or give the address, Cameron, if you can.
MyMensTeam.org.
MyMensTeam.org. Well, keep in touch. I'd like to actually help promote that for you as much as we possibly can, if we can. That's a fantastic initiative, mate. Well done. That's great. Before we say goodbye, I want to hit you with five in five, okay? Just quick answers. You can elaborate if you like to. Firstly, bush or beach?
Beach.
Beach? Yeah?
Well, beach, yep.
Well, considering you've just spent quite a little time back on home and away at Palm Beach, so I can understand that.
Yeah, seawater for me.
Yeah.
And preferably bush next to the beach.
Yeah, a bit of both. Absolutely. Yeah. I think I know the answer to this one. Ford or Holden?
Holden.
Holden.
Unquestionably.
Unquestionably. Yeah. Vegemite or peanut butter?
look. I'd say Vegemite.
Vegemite?
But I'm going to... Vegemite with a caveat that it's Vegemite in the morning, peanut butter in the afternoon.
Yeah, I like that. Actually, did you always like Vegemite, or was it something you grew into?
Oh, no, always liked Vegemite.
Yeah, I know. You know, when it first came out, I read something ages ago that they said it would actually look like axle grease and tasted like rusty nails, and it still became successful.
Well, there you go. We're all masochists, aren't we?
Thongs or boots, Cameron Daddo?
Thongs.
Yeah, much more comfortable. Much more comfortable.
I'd go one step further and go bare feet. So,
You got to feel the earth down again, don't you? You really do.
Indeed.
And finally, a Cobra or a baseball cap?
A Cobra.
Oh, good. Yes. You've got to have the Cobra. Cameron, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us on today's podcast. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Daryl. My pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for making this available to me.
That's great. You are a legend. Thank you, mate. We'll catch up again real soon. And we'll just give that website address again, if you could.
MyMensTeam.org.
MyMensTeam.org. We'll keep in touch and we'll see if we can help promote that as well for you. Cameron Daddo, it has been an absolute pleasure to catch up. Thank you.
Brilliant, Daryl. Thanks, mate.